Their Wildest Dreams Recovery Podcast. It's a podcast that welcomes all paths of recovery and where we discuss what we have all learned through our recovery. The podcast does not endorse any points of view, and the opinions are those of the guests. This is a bonus episode, a little bit shorter than a full length, but the purpose today of this episode is to discuss with Wendy Blanchard her new book, Write, Pray, and Review. Wendy returns today to discuss the release of her book. And as we know, she is a motivational international speaker, author, mental health and wellness consultant, and educator for New York CPS. So, Wendy, good morning. Are you there?
I am. Thank you so much, Denise. I just want to, out of the gate, make a correction. The name of the book is Write, Pray, Recover.
Oh, goodness. See? Not enough coffee on my part. Perfect. So I'm glad that you could come today, and it must be so exciting that the book has been released last week. And why don't you tell us all what that feels like?
Yeah, that was just, this has been a long time coming. I worked on the book for years. It is just, I am elated that I'm able to get my story out there to serve other people. And it's been my way of recovering from lifelong prescription drug addiction or substance use disorder and mental health disorders. And I'm getting so many texts and emails the past couple of days and phone calls of people that I know in both the recovery community and people in the wellness community, friends and family who are buying the book and excited about the book. And I really, you know, my purpose in writing this book was, it was cathartic for me in my recovery, but also to serve globally, to offer a new pathway to recovery, which is my pathway, which is a wellness approach to recovery, an integrative approach to recovery, and to normalize mental health.
So how does it feel when, you know, it sounds like maybe you went through this process for yourself? And then I'm sure there's those moments where you think, ooh, I wonder if anyone's going to buy this book, or just my family members is going to buy this book, or, you know, so it must be, how does it feel when you really start getting these emails and you get everything and you realize that obviously a lot more people in the first week or so are buying it than you expected?
That's a great question. It's very emotional for me. I had a little meltdown the day that it came out. It had been building up for so long, and I was very excited. As you know, you and I are friends, and I was very excited for the release. And once it was released, I panicked. I don't think it wasn't worrying about whether it would sell or not. It was the fact that now my story was actually out there globally. It was out in the world. And there's no going back. And, you know, a lot of things went through my mind. Oh, my God, what are people going to think? Are they going to think less of me when they read some of these stories or situations that I had been through in my childhood as well as in my adulthood while I was living with substance use disorder and so very unwell? And so I texted an author friend of mine, a dear friend of mine, Eric Morrison, and he's a well-known author as well and an international speaker, and I asked him if he felt this way, and he said absolutely, and we talked, and he encouraged me to really give myself credit for all the work that I put into it and all that I had been through to come out the other side and to help others. And, you know, then I did that, and I calmed down, and I'm very spiritual, so I know that this book will land in the laps of the people that are meant to read it as a support for themselves or a family member or a friend. And so, you know, I just pray every day. I know that God is within me, and he's always protecting and loving me and guiding me. And I've never been let down before. And so I know he's going to use me to to serve others globally to normalize mental health using my story.
Well, and I think also that it's a good thing when a person, for me anyways, it's always a good thing when a person has a bit of doubt and they have that humility. Because I think if a person didn't stop and didn't have a delayed reaction and didn't have any of those feelings, then, you know, where is the humility, right?
Absolutely. You have to be very humble. Listen, you know my story. You know, you and I have talked and done a podcast prior to this, and, you know, you're part of my inner circle. So you know my story. If the listeners don't know what I've been through, I nearly died. I'm beginning my 10th year of recovery now, which is amazing to me, but I nearly died from a near fatal overdose. And so the fact that I came out of it and not only lived, but found a pathway, and I call it an untapped pathway to recovery that resonated with me, where I could use all natural and organic tools to recover. And then on top of that, to find my deep connection to God, spirit, the universe, and to feel that love every single day. And the icing on the cake is really to be able to support everyone that I support in my family, my loved ones, my kids, my granddaughters, my friends, and my recovery community, and hopefully people I haven't even met yet, this book will resonate with. And I just want to say that my way is just another pathway to recovery. So in my private practice, I have people that come to me and say, I'd like to try your way. And I'd also like to continue taking my medication. And I say, absolutely, of course, because each one of us has our own self-care practices that are going to benefit us and help us to thrive in our recovery. And it's going to look different for everyone. And we must, and I can't stress this enough, we must be accepting of every single path of recovery. Because otherwise, we're going to lose people if we point our finger and say to them, you can't recover that way. You have to do this my way. That's never going to work. Everyone knows what will work for them. And we have to accept that and embrace that and, you know, just meet them where they are and guide them from there. That's how I run my practice.
And I don't think that recovery of any particular kind, and I mean, I've been involved in a 12-step recovery for 38 years. I think that, you know, no matter what your choice of recovery is, whether it's SMART program, it's integrative, it's no matter what it is, there's no one cookie cutter answer and method for recovery. I really believe that, like what you're saying, is there's more of a hybrid approach, integrative, you can take a bit of this and a bit of that. And you just basically have to come up with the exact right recipe of recovery for you.
Absolutely. And early on in my recovery, I had someone in the recovery community she'd been like yourself, 30 years plus in 12-step recovery. And I let her know that it wasn't really resonating with me and I wanted to try a holistic approach. And she began screaming at me at a meeting and saying, nobody ever recovered this way. And I was crushed and I was humiliated and I was scared. I felt very intimidated by that. But I had a wonderful coach at that time, a life coach, Maria Blonde, who said to me, Wendy, whatever resonates with you, do it. And don't be afraid. And so that's what I did. I took baby steps and I explored and researched like crazy. And I surrounded myself with a team of holistic professionals, as well as my primary care physician, who I trust implicitly. And we all worked together as a team. They support me, they guide me, but I ultimately make the final decisions because nobody knows what's best for me more than I do.
Exactly. And I think if recovery is going to be successful, number one, it's a lifestyle change. It's not a short-term trip. You know, it's a marathon and we have to stick with it for, you know, in my case, I'm in for the long haul. So I have to do what is going to work for me, and I have to integrate different practices and do different things. And it changes as we go along as well. I mean, to be in recovery for almost 40 years, things change from the first 10 years, then the second decade, the third decade. We change in our personalities, everything changes, and everything has to be adjusted, you know, along the way. And I think that's why it's really good when we get books and different things that we can incorporate into that practice. And one thing I love when I do have guests on the podcast, I do quite a bit of research, and I've had, just turns out I never set out to have authors, but I, you know, I've had Pamela Pesta, I've had Lisa Boucher. There's been a lot of different authors, Gigi Langer. So the thing is that I read, of course, their books before I get on and say anything about it. So luckily, got your book, and really, really like how it was laid out. It was easy to read. And, you know, I think the thing about great authors and people who write books really well is that the books sound like the person does. So you write exactly like you talk.
Thank you very much.
It's really easy to, when I pick up a book, then as I'm reading it, whether it's you, Pamela, Lisa, Kevin, anybody, you know, you can pick up the book, you can read it, and then you can hear them speaking, and they write in the same way that they speak. So in your book, that definitely reflects that. And what I really liked is that there was just so many thought-provoking questions. Now, I don't want to give a lot of them away, because the whole point is here is that we want people to go out and get the book for themselves. But these, it wasn't just like read your experience, listen to what Wendy's went through, which is all valid. But at the end, it's like, okay, so now what do you think of this? And what are some of the mental wellness signs and symptoms? And what healthy practices do you do to cope? And, you know, what are some of your short-term goals? And acceptance of present circumstances and God and universe, all these different things you threw in there for people to think about. So I think that that's what, to me, it was a very interactive book.
I'm sorry, go ahead.
No, go ahead.
No, I was going to say you're 1,000% on the mark, and that's what I wanted. I did in each chapter give a snapshot of different scenarios that I lived through and trauma that I experienced. But more than that, I wanted to focus on how I've recovered and continue to recover. Listen, recovery is a lifelong process. But in the meantime, the subtitle of the book is A Journey to Wellness Through Spiritual Solutions and Self-Care. And that is authentically how I have recovered thus far and will continue to recover. So I love that you picked up on the interactive piece. I wanted to get people thinking on, and I wanted people to say to themselves, you know, I went through something similar, and if Wendy is talking about it, then maybe it's okay for me to say what I've been through as well. And so that's the goal, is to get people to say, I'm not going to be afraid. This is a safe space. This is a mental health disorder. Everybody has mental health. And I am not going to be afraid anymore of speaking my truth. That's what this is all about. Speak our truth, offer ourselves peace and freedom. And the self-reflection questions that I've included in the book actually give the purpose is for someone to say, I just read Wendy's chapter 5 and I went through something similar, and then read the questions to see how they resonate with each person and write about it, because we know that writing is very cathartic, you know, in recovery, and really just very cathartic in general, journaling and writing. So it is a very interactive book. I didn't want to put a book out there. It was just going to tell my story. And then what are people going to do with that? This really includes the reader. It's very inclusive. And that was the purpose of the book.
And I think also that, you know, whenever you tell your story, whether we're telling it verbally, whether we're doing it in a written form, whether, you know, it wasn't the same as what you went through, but it was similar. When I decided to tell my mental health part of my story and did an episode on the podcast, the minute I hit send and published, there was no going back.
Right.
That was always going to be in the public somewhere, you know. And the thing is perception's important. And the thing is I think that whenever we tell our stories, you know, we're going to have family members, we're going to have friends, we're going to have anybody who's interpreting that information, they're going to do so with their own perception. So sometimes their series of events aren't really what our experience was. So if I have five people in my family and I'm describing a situation, the other four people might in fact have a different take and a different perception of that event. And so I think that's why it's really interesting that we just get our stories out. We speak our truth because it's only our truth. I don't expect somebody else in my family, in my circle, to completely understand it in the same exact experience that I had. But I think when you're writing a book, the great thing is you can tell your story and your truth as it is for you. And then with the interactive part, people can kind of relate the situation and then go to their own perception with the self-help questions. And so then it kind of ties in that, you know, then it can be your story and your take, but then they can integrate. I can read here and say, oh, okay, so Wendy went through this and this and this and this happened. But then I can jump over at the end of what you talk about in the chapter and I can then look at my perception of it through the questions.
Yeah, and that's the thing. This is the thread of the human condition that weaves us together. So we all have similar experiences. And as you say, it may not be the same experience, but certainly trauma is trauma. And that's I want to get people talking about it. I said from day one of my recovery, I want to have an ongoing dialogue to normalize mental health and to create a safe space for people to know that they haven't done anything wrong and that we all have mental health and that this is a diagnosable, treatable and manageable disease or disorders. And we have to break the stigma and the language. We must change the language, the inappropriate language that is used to describe someone living with a disorder like addict, alcoholic, crazy, mentally ill. The correct language that we are using now to try to shift to normalizing these disorders is living with a mental health disorder, living with schizophrenia, living with alcohol use disorder, living with substance use disorder, and on and on. And I, you know, to be quite honest, what you say about perception is true. I do get some pushback. I had one person text me the other day and who was very adamant, early in recovery too. So they're still learning, but said to me, I am an alcoholic and nothing that you put out there is going to change my language. And that's fine. Again, we all are entitled to how we feel. We're allowed to feel how we feel and not everybody's going to buy into my perception or my program. And that's perfectly fine. Whatever works for you, that's what you do.
But the thing is, if a specific language or a word does not work for you, it doesn't mean that parts of the rest of it won't work for you.
That's good insight.
So, you know, maybe you're saying that, and again, use myself, who's been involved in something for many, many years. The language of that particular word of alcoholic isn't a concern for me one way or the other in a certain venue. Like I know myself, what I live with is at the end of the day. I know which disorders I live with. And so language is very important, but at the other hand, I'm not going to write off the whole rest of the book or the content or whatever, because I don't agree with one word or I don't agree with one. I think that it's so important in recovery for us to, and I know what it's like in the beginning, you know, we only know what we know. We can't know what we don't know until we experience it. And so we get comfortable in certain ways and then it seems like a challenge or a threat, and that's okay. But, you know, I think the important thing is that there are enough recovery paths for everybody.
That's what I was saying at the beginning, is that we have to accept and embrace whatever recovery paths come along with each precious soul that
and own it, like, you know, own right. what we're going to do and right. take, you know, take what we want and leave the rest. You're not right. saying to everybody, take my whole entire experience, my whole entire book,
of and
you
not.
Must and you must buy this.
Oh no, of course not.
So as the I thing said, is, but then 12 step other places too, they're not saying buy the whole thing either. So I think it's just common sense, and I think that, you know, everyone's got to find their own path. And certainly this book is going to be really helpful for people. And just as we wind up here, one thing I wanted to mention that I also thought was really an important topic in the book that sometimes isn't mentioned a lot is, I wish I could read my own writing, healthy living begins with healthy boundaries. And that was one part there that you touched on in the book. And then just basically some guidance about people creating their own boundaries and everything. And non-negotiable boundaries. And I don't want to give any more of the book away, but I think that for people, I think it's sometimes a real problem with recovery is boundaries or how to set boundaries with family in the beginning or friends or whatever. And those two things I thought were really helpful.
Thank you.
Yeah. Healthy living beginning with healthy boundaries.
Yeah.
And then basically, I believe that there was even something where we could list 5 boundaries and then non-negotiable boundaries. And, you know, boundaries are so, so, so important when we're creating our recovery path. So I would encourage anybody to get the book. And it certainly, I feel, you know, I got a journal book and I've got a lot happening right now, but my intention is to shortly go through all the questions and, you know, just go through them. And I just think it's a great practice, whether you're starting out, you've been at it a while, it's just a really good interactive book. So
Denise, thank you for that.
I just wish you all the best, Wendy, with the book. I know as well that you have a support group coming up on January 30th, if you want to say a few words about that.
Yeah, before I say about that, I'll just tell you your listeners quickly, you can get the book on Amazon.com or Amazon, Kindle, Barnes & Noble, and a whole slew of other places. So if you go and just Google the book, you will find where to make your purchase of your copy. I have.
And also, Wendy, do you have a link on your website?
I do. My website, Write, Pray, Recover, same title as the book, WRITE, writeprayrecover.com. You can go there and write it. As soon as you go to the landing page, there's a link for you to make the purchase. Thank you.
And I'm sorry I didn't get the title correct, because as I'm looking at all the notes here, I've got Write, Pray, and Recover.
So okay.
I guess just not enough coffee.
No, that's what it is. And then the recovery group that you were speaking of, Rachel Rowe and I are going to be offering a safe space. It's a brand new recovery meeting. It's 9 a.m. Pacific time, 12 p.m. Eastern time, 5 p.m. UK. And we have a Zoom link for that if you want to email me at wendyblanchard044@gmail.com. I will send you the link. We have a lot of people who have shown interest, and I'm excited about this. Rachel will be talking about ways to support our mental health and giving some facts about mental health, and I will be doing the same in addition to offering wellness practices, spiritual solutions, and self-care practices that can support mental health. And then we'll be offering a 2-minute share time for each participant that is with us. And for February and March, I already have some exciting speakers lined up. So I hope your listeners will click in and join us and see if it resonates with them.
Perfect. So you've got a lot of positive stuff going on. There's something there for everybody. And so I hope that, you know, we'll get this out today and get that information out. And I just hope that, you know, people plug into whatever is going to work for them. And if that doesn't work, go on to the next thing. And just in recovery, just keep looking for what's going to work for you. And main thing is don't drink, don't use, stay strong, stay sober. So thanks so much, Wendy. I really appreciate you coming on today. And I look forward to just seeing how everything is going to go and tracking your success, because I know that you will be successful.
Thank you, Denise. Thanks very much for the opportunity.
Talk to you soon.
Bye.
Take care.